Welcome to Twos Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Fellas, welcome back.
Donnie.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
I'm great. I'm sore.
Yeah?
Yeah. Little sore. Yeah. I'm not,
well. How's your arm, buddy?
Oh, here we go.
Well, Tosh, thanks for asking. It feels like I pitched 1,000 batting practice pitches yesterday. Something
pretty close.
Oh, maybe you did.
Pretty close to 1,000.
So how many times did your arms go around in the week? Did you figure that out yet?
Oof.
Well, almost 3,000.
I would say Edmonton, maybe not as many. 600, 15. Yeah, 2,500 for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah,
2,500.
So did you learn anything?
Did I
just put bad muscle memory in?
Well, no, I think it was good muscle memory for what our job is.
Oh, right? Okay.
Our job is to throw strikes, right?
Yes.
And we were pumping the strikes.
Oh, world class dips, Dino.
Yeah. Like I think I said after two thirds of the way through, I said to you, yeah, there it is. My arm just went numb, but I'm still throwing strikes. Yeah, so that's awesome.
So let me get this straight. So when all those home run balls hit the top of the screen, you guys are doing a good job, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Allowing the kids to show their talent.
Yeah.
Not about us, man.
Remember, Dean.
There's a lot going up the curtain.
Well, this isn't tryouts for Tosh and I, though. We're here to see if the kids can hit that dipper. You know, did you want us to throw different spins and bang spots? And I don't think so. And I think we're here just to, let the kids showcase.
What Donnie isn't saying is after I was tired of maybe the same kid hitting three at my face and then three over the curtain, I zipped the rise ball in there. They swung and missed. And I said, okay, you're done.
Yeah.
It's the last pitch.
Okay? That's the last one. Here it is.
Funny sidebar. Tosh and I are a bit behind the screen, I guess, because the evaluating coaches are right behind the screen, sitting on chairs. By the way, I don't know how I sign up for that gig, but let me know. Yeah. However, one of the coaches said, "Oh boy, everybody makes the team when Donnie's pitching. Look at all these rockets," which was tough to hear. And then I said under my breath, man, if one more kid hits a bomb off me, I'm going to lose it. And Tosh goes, oh, you mean one more 09 kid hits a bomb off you? That was a pretty tough pill to swallow watching that.
Hey, they were swinging the bats, man.
Yeah.
And you know what the nice thing is, too? And we could have made it a little tougher. They were feeling pretty comfortable in there. I hit one kid in three camps. That was pretty good because I think I hit Lauren Kazema twice last year, but I hit one kid this year and it was in the foot. Righty in the foot.
Admittedly, I hit one kid too in the helmet. But out of 2,500 pitches.
In the helmet?
In the helmet. It was Blocka though. She was leaning in. I'm not sure.
She was crowding the plate, man.
Yeah, she needs to square up
a bit. Chin music?
Yeah, well, I wasn't trying to brush her back, but she turned her head right into it. It's almost like she was trying to take one.
I'm
going to first.
Yeah,
I'm going to first.
I'm on my way to first.
If I can quote Rick Smith, who's been on this cast, if you want to go to first so bad, I'll let you go on one pitch. And there she went.
That's right. There she went. Yep. So calls are happening. Camps are awesome.
Let me ask you guys this: with all the calls you have to make, because for the listeners out there, you call and you ask what's available, then you have to maybe make some adjustments. So there's going to be, quite a few calls. Are you wearing a headset when you call?
Yes.
Yeah. Like a call center? Like are you smoking cigarettes and in a dark room?
Yeah, there's a script.
Well, if this doesn't work out, guys, you can do like phone sales too. You know, we could use you here just doing some one-day sales stuff, maybe just calling clients and get a script going.
Why not?
Yeah, well,
how are you doing? A little check-in, cold calls.
I love that. So we can talk about it a bit. The camp's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
A week, three camps, 240 plus kids.
Yep.
Well, boys, how do you feel?
We're better.
We are better. I said this. I thought that when I first looked at the camps, we definitely got deeper. But the last little bit, we got better. We did. We got better. I think We got better at every position, which is nice. And you know what I noticed too is, and I mean, it goes both ways. I'm really happy with what I'm seeing as far as those kids that are getting a lot of work done in preparation for it, and not the week before, because that doesn't help as much, right? Obviously, but the ones that have worked hard all spring, all summer, you know, and not just getting ready for us, but getting ready for their summer teams and, you know, Canada games or whatever it happens to be you're trying out for. I just thought that there was a really high number of players that did a lot of work, right? So, I mean, there were some that didn't, and that's the chips fall where they may, right? But there's definitely some that did a lot of work, and I was really happy with that. There was one kid in particular that, you know, we talked about, won't mention a name, but it was a total transformation. And I know that player has been, you know, doing some winter training stuff for the last couple of years. And I haven't seen this kid probably in a year. And did really well. And I was like, wow, that is awesome.
Hey, can I ask, and I know you won't say it, I'm not asking the name, but is this the one we talked about at the very end of camp?
The dean thought we were kidding?
Yeah.
Yes, that is the one.
Yeah, very impressive for sure.
Yeah, it was unreal. Yeah, it was really good.
So I know you guys mentioned this to every group, but the athletes themselves made it. They're making it hard on you guys selecting teams for sure. So there was the compete level was way up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to mention
the beep test was interesting, eh?
What's that?
The beep test was interesting. Yeah.
The beep test was very interesting, and we had that same conversation after every beep test where we didn't really set them up. And I mean, the beep test is what it is. It does test your fitness, and yeah, it's going to test the cardio side of things. But to me, the beep test is a battle of will. It's, are you going to go through the wall? Can you keep going when you don't think you can keep going? But I never thought of it this way, but Bruce, Bill Nye Science Guy, he said it the best. He said, you know, don't practice quitting in that, you know, you hear a beep and there was one instance where, there was two or three of them running together, and they looked like they had lots left in the tank, and then one dropped off. And then there were two, and they went back and forth a couple, three times. And then the one just stopped. And the other player that was running with that person sees them stop, and they just went, oh, and they quit too.
Yeah.
When they could have gone back and forth probably on their own. But it's just, you see it. You're looking for that opportunity to pack it in instead of looking for an opportunity to go through the next wall and the next wall and the next wall. And that's what that test is all about for me.
Yeah.
I think the quote goes, you're looking for a way out, not a way through, you know,
something like that. That's a good one.
It's not bad. Yeah,
something like that. So, but it was good. It tells you a lot, right? It does. So,
well, good. Well, hey, can I talk
about Facebook? My Facebook shoes showed up this week.
Sorry.
Yeah. I ordered some shoes off Facebook and everybody laughed at me. They're freaking unbelievable comfortable and they showed up.
Are they Velcro? Are they orthopedics?
Here we go.
No. No, but they're super light and they're turf shoes. So I'm going to show them out at my first practice.
Awesome.
What color did you go with, Dino?
Red and black.
Red and black.
Decided not to just tell the other coaches? Or
But the black and the gray haven't showed up. Well, I got to see if they were, like if they even showed up first. What if they didn't show up?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Gotcha.
So cool. Facebook for Commerce. Can I talk about the weekend for my men's side just for a quick second?
Yeah,
why wouldn't you?
So if anyone who is listening is familiar with the Grand Prairie Pirates, we used to be the Lloydminster Dodgers, had a hell of a run in the Open and A circuit for a while, went to Grand Prairie, great. We've got five sets of unis sitting in my garage. So we entered a tournament in Calahoo. And Braden Arcan said, hey, well, can we get a set of Dodgers jerseys to go? So, of course, take your pick, boys. And the Lloydminster Dodgers won the tournament in Calahoo and beat Newton, who is a member of your group, and threw real well. And, yeah, so first win for the Dodgers in probably 6 years, which is nice and nostalgic. And then talk of that comes from, hey, maybe we should send a Masters team down to Carson City next September. Nah, so expect keep your phones on, fellas. Keep your phones on.
Well, we had a conversation, and you know, if somebody else calls me and only one person does that, then it'd be tough. Yeah,
it'd be tough for sure. But we got in there right away. I want to make sure it's known that we're asking you fellas, and probably Ether as well.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah,
it'd
for sure. Time. All right, yeah. So we're going to get into the cast. Big tournament coming up in Saskatoon this weekend, boys.
Yes. Can't wait. Yes. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, really.
It's going to be good to see good ball. Yep.
Yeah, so the Rawlings Grand Slam at the nicest complex in Western Canada, probably Canada in general. And the coaches from Team Canada are going to come. They're picking up their final four spots for their teams going to Pan Ams. So, I mean, a lot riding on it, obviously, in a short season. So, no better complex to play in, no better beer gardens to sit in. So we've picked up four, I think, guys we're going to talk to about their team, their chances, what's going on heading into this tournament.
Yeah,
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. And it was funny, we walked out of the facility yesterday. Not funny. It was just like it just shows where we are right now, where, you know, people are out and about, and especially in Saskatoon, they're craving softball. Man, we walked out of the facility yesterday, and hats off to the Western Canada Collegiate Association. They had their league play this weekend, so SATE and U of S, UR, the women's teams. Man, they had a good crowd. Hey, we walked out, there was probably 400 or 500 people there. It was awesome. It was great to see the park, you know, people buzzing around the park, and the food trucks were there, and I know the food trucks are going to be awesome. And I know the pulled pork is going to be amazing over at BVI.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really, really exciting weekend. And you just hope the weather's good and everything goes off.
I can't wait to see the U23s too.
Yeah, that's just it. There's a lot of good, like, old fella balls like ours, and then the young guys coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Do you want to get into it here, boys, or what?
Absolutely. Yeah,
let's bring in our first guest. From BC, from the Souk Loggers, Mr. Blake Hunter. Welcome to the cast.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. So, Bud, we're going through some of the teams that are going to the Rawlings Tournament in Saskatoon, which is essentially nationals, I guess. The Team Canada coaches want to have a look at everyone in the pool, and it's going to be a pretty big tournament, hosted at a great event, at a great venue. We want to hear from you. How are the Loggers? Give me some insight.
We're ready to go. Boys are chomping at the bit for sure. It's been a while since we've been back. Last two finishes at a nationals were obviously tough ones in second place. But the boys are definitely ready to go.
Can you talk a bit about what have you guys been able to do in this kind of a weird shortened season? Where were you last week even? Let's talk about that.
I was at the ISCs last weekend playing with J&B. As far as the loggers, the off season stuff, we've managed to be able to stay in small groups, training indoors. And then as the season's gone on, we've been out on weekends, had the boys together, and, we can't wait to get going.
I heard you had a big weekend in Calgary against this Masters squad or something. That was
some veteran guys. Yeah.
They're a scrappy group.
Yeah.
I think they're...
Okay, I've been called a lot of stuff, and that's scrappy awesome. Ain't
well, it's one better than old.
Prima donna, all about himself, but never scrappy. That's weird.
That was a good tournament. It was a good warm up for the Souk guys to get back together, get back on the road. First time in 2 years we've been able to travel anywhere, so it was nice to get out to Calgary that weekend. We got to see some good pitching. Nudie was there, Zippy was there. A young kid that Riley Mannion from the junior program was there. It was good to get out.
Who's throwing for you guys?
So we got Scott Life, Tyson Barkman, Derek Mason, Aaron Emery, and then I'm always ready to go if needed.
Good for you.
Very nice.
Perfect.
So you can talk about Calgary a bit. I wasn't there, but you hung it on the Pirates a little bit there. That's got to be tough. It's tough for me to hear. Talk about that tournament a little bit and how you played. What was it like being back in the Diamond? And what was it like in the Gardens? How was their Gardens compared to maybe Saskatoon's?
Wow. I don't know if you could keep up Saskatoon.
Yeah.
That facility is top notch. But the Calgary was good. There was quite a few people there. It was nice to see. everybody was pretty excited to just basically be back at the ball field and see each other, you know, first time in a few years. But the experience was good. Like I said, there was some good teams there. It was always nice sticking it to GP a little bit, but but we know you guys got, you know, you got some reinforcements coming for the Grand Slams there, so we'll definitely have to be prepared for you guys.
What have you done since Calgary? Any tournaments or anything you've done?
I did ASAs with Hill United, and then I went to the ISCs with JMB there. Just this past week.
So it's like everybody's kind of going and finding clubs and places to play and trying to keep busy as best they can.
Yeah, a lot of the players this year, there wasn't many teams that did a whole lot of tournaments, so you were just kind of trying to piece together a schedule the best you could. You know, jumping from team to team, not like normally where you'll get five or six tournaments with whoever you sign with for the year.
Right. Hey, Blake, just kind of going through, you know, obviously we're promoting the Rawlings Championship, and it's going to be great to see good men's ball, and the juniors will be there as well, and that's all really cool. But one of the things I wanted to talk about with the people who get on the cast is kind of the health of the men's game in your area. So little bit of insight on my side. Well, Dino too, you know, we both played in BC, you know, I was on the island, and of course at the time, you know, the Stuffy was going, the McDonald Park League was going. I mean, there was a lot of men's fast pitch going on. What's kind of the state of the game right now? And I know Suk has always been a hotbed, but where are things at right now? And do you think there's some things that we can be doing to rejuvenate the game?
As much as I hate to say it, I wouldn't say we're in the best situation. You know, a lot of guys that have been around for quite a while keeping these leagues together and playing, just not enough younger players coming up. I know, especially on the island, we don't have much in the way of boys ball. I know Vancouver, they've still got some boys teams and some boys programs and stuff going, which is good. The last little while, I noticed this year, Northern BC, they've had a big rise in boys playing again, mm-hmm. Which is good to see. They've got the U21 Team BC program they've got going, and those kids have been traveling around playing in these tournaments this year locally, which is good to see. I think the biggest thing is, in order to rejuvenate the game, it's got to start at the minor level. And the biggest thing is coaching. I think we're going to have to, you know, guys that have had these experiences where they've been able to travel the world and, you know, the stuff they've been able to get out of the game, they have to share those experiences with those young kids and let them know there is a place to go, there is a future in this game, and all the great people you meet throughout the game. Like, that stuff's got to be shared. I think we got to do a better job of that. And maybe like a more of a media presence as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that is the media presence is something that is probably front of mind, especially now coming out of the Olympics and the, you know, the shot in the arm that the female game got. I mean, you know, obviously the Canadian team performed very well, but it was front of mind for a long time during that month, or basically for the whole month, that, you know, softball was a big deal. And it's something I agree. I think if we can get to these kids and show them that it is a great game and there are opportunities, that, you know, that's a start. So good to hear that that's kind of what you're thinking as well.
Is this your way of saying you're going to get into coaching? Is that what you're looking at here? That's what I heard. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'll help out where I can.
Yes.
Yeah. I think the other thing too is, I think we got to do a better job too of players when they are done playing baseball. Is instead of before these guys get into playing slow pitch and all this stuff, mm-hmm. get a hold of them and get them out playing fastball.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them played a lot of high caliber ball and good ball players. You know,
they've got a lot to offer the baseball
for
side,
sure.
You know,
yeah. It's just they've got to be willing to make that transition, and there is going to be a tough little road there to go through, but once they do, look how many ball players have made great careers out of being fastball players after baseball.
Yeah.
Interesting insight. I got one thing to bring up. sounds like your Sook team is going to be pretty much who you always have. You know, the usual suspects. You guys got a really good hitting lineup, mostly local guys. But if you, as we talk to these other teams coming in, there's a lot of player movement coming into this tournament. Guys going to different teams just to be seen and to have the tournament. How does that? How do you think that's going to impact the gelling of a team on a short tournament like that? Do you guys feel? And you can be candid. Do you feel you got a bit of an advantage because it's the same group of guys that know each other real well, or are you worried about the Pirates?
Well, it's I do think we have an advantage that way. When you have guys that have played together year in, year out, you know, you're always pulling for one another. You never have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about the political stuff. We don't have any issues that way, which, you know, when you bring in players from other teams and other places and guys start to lose playing time and stuff, you're not really sure, you know, how much that may affect the team chemistry. So, yeah, I do think we have a bit of an advantage there. But for the most part, I know a lot of the guys that are going and playing with other teams. You're talking about great guys, you know, that are, most of those guys are going to fit in with any group you put them with instantly. So, yeah, I think we got a little bit of an advantage, but I wouldn't say it, you know, it's something that puts us right over the top.
Who do you play? I should have asked you offline because maybe if you don't know, do you know who's in your pool and who you got?
Golden Hawks, Nith River, Big Man, and there's one more team. Mm-hmm. It's probably somebody I'm not worried about.
You shouldn't be, yeah.
No, we got played. GP. Yeah.
Well played.
So is Randerson with Nith River?
He's not with us. As far as I'm pretty sure he's with Nith.
I know he's been with them for ISCs, but he's played with you guys before for sure.
Yes. Which, yeah.
We got to see him.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago. He was good.
He played with the Hawks at Saskatchewan Provincials. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pretty smooth mechanics, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Really smooth.
I was pretty impressed with spots. Yeah. I mean, everything seems fast to me now, but it was actually really cool to see.
Yeah.
Like, he was pretty meticulous with his spots, I thought. And he was pretty smart, too. I'm going to talk to him a little bit. I want to know if he, you know, against us, he didn't need his change nearly as much early in the game, so he kind of held that off. And then all of a sudden, you know, end of the game, he started showing it. And then the second game during the day, we saw it a lot more, right? So I don't know if he's actually, I want to know if he's actually thinking, seeing how smart he is, or if that was a catcher doing a lot of that, or
I'm not sure if you intentionally did it, Dino, but you dropped in meticulous in your vocabulary. That's a big word, bud.
What is that, 8-9 letters?
It's a lot. I can't count them up, but yeah, I'm happy that you did that. Yeah, you sound smart for sure.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Donnie.
You know, on the trip to Edmonton, he's gonna ask me what it means.
No, for sure, yeah, and you can explain it to him. Yeah,
for sure. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was good seeing him throw.
Zippy through 100 miles an hour on Sunday.
But Nudie, too.
Yeah.
Nudie, I thought Nudie threw great. He threw great in Calgary, and he threw great at Provincials. And, yeah. I wasn't sure. They were talking about this Randerson kid. I wasn't sure, you know, who he was, obviously, because I don't know anybody anymore. He looked really good on the Saturday night, I guess, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that was really cool. And then he got mastered on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I want to see him come up with you and just clock you.
He's never going to throw against me again. Yeah. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, you know, this is what it's all about, though, sitting around talking ball. And it's going to be so nice to see everybody in the tent and around the diamond. Great facility, like you said. So, you know, Blake, we got a couple more guys we're going to talk to, but thanks for coming on the cast. I wish you all the luck in the pool, except for when you play GP. If you feel like you're having an offer, that's the day to hang it on you right there.
Yeah, that's right.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks, you guys, for having me. And just like to clarify, anything I said about GP, I was just joking, Burnsy, so relax.
I don't need
85 in the ribs or anything like that.
Right on.
Good stuff. Well, can't wait to see you, Blake.
Yep, it'll be awesome. See you guys in Saskatoon.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, well, next we got Lyle Norman, head coach of the Irma Tigers. Lyle, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Good to be here.
Jackfish.
Yes, excited. Somebody I know.
So important to note to start, I reached out to Kyle Parsons, who's a guy I know, runs a tournament, runs their Twitter. He's a great guy, but he's a teacher, so he's kind of busy this time of year. Donnie, I don't want to do it. Maybe he's nervous. whatever. So you should talk to Mike Soucy because Mike, you know, he lives and breathes Irma. He's a longest standing Tiger, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, sounds great. Sends me his info. Mike, we want to do this podcast. Yeah, love to, Donnie. What time? Yeah, Monday. Let's get it done. Sounds great. Well, about an hour before the cast. Yeah, Donnie, I can't do it. So find somebody else. I'm like, okay, sounds good. So I message Kyle. Parse, you going to pinch hit here? What's going on? No, not doing it. And it's all he did. No other reply. Just sent me Lyle's info. And Lyle, good for you. You stepped up. You answered the bell right away. So I appreciate you coming on.
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that you gave Parsons your parting shot a week or two ago?
It might have. And yeah, I did talk to him right after, and he laughed. He said it was great.
It might have been that.
I thought that was pretty funny. And then he might get another one this time, too. We'll see. So, Lyle, we're just talking to the teams going to this tournament basically about, hey, how's your season been so far? What have you done to keep your guys sharp? And what's the team looking like going into the tournament?
Well, it's been a challenging season again, of course, as you guys all know, but we have managed to play some ball. Some of our guys, my boys and Chance Lund, play in the Calgary League. So they've been, I think they fired up June 5th or something like that. And the Irma guys have been playing like a kind of a weekly game where whoever's available in the community, whether it's the Royals, the Tigers, the juniors, the masters, they basically all get together on Wednesday night, whoever can make it, and throw their gloves in the middle and, and have a game, sometimes under the light, and you wouldn't believe it. They had, I don't know, Mike said there was a couple hundred fans there most nights to watch. So
wow, that's awesome.
Irma's a great ball community, and the fans are starved for it as much as the players are, and it's great to be back playing.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but we were in Irma a couple weeks ago, and your boys laid it to us pretty good in the final. But the tournament is always – Irma's well-supported. The burgers are the best in the province for sure. But you had a bit of a – I don't want to call him a celebrity, but I guess he is. Carson Soucy came out and still smashing it. Hasn't swung a bat in however long, hits a couple of big bombs, and just the nicest guy in the world. Just – I'll pick up a game of fastball and just be real good again. Must be just – fantastic to be Carson Soucy.
Well, Carson's a great athlete and a better person. But having said that, he did play with the junior national team, the U19 team that went to Argentina. And I'm sure that he would be, if not on the national team, in the top 40 pool if he were still playing actively today. But of course, he's got something more important going on right now than fastball. But he still loves to play. And of course, the guys love to have him around and to have him participating with us in the Irma tournament for a couple of games was lots of fun.
So what's the team, what's it looking like? I mean, don't tell me this because I'm on the Pirates and I'll be there and I don't want a scouting report. I've seen enough of Irma to know. But for the listeners out there, what's the roster looking like? And talk about your pool a little bit in Saskatoon.
Yeah, I don't think there's any secrets between the Pirates and the Tigers. Been playing each other for years, but yeah, our pool is very competitive. Like I say, we're going to be in tough with Saskatoon. They've added a couple great ball players, and Ontario is always tough. I think PG, I'm not sure what the roster is, but they hit the ball well. And you know, the Manitoba team, I know that Peguis also has a good hitting team and have some good pitching with, I think Bo Thomas is with them, and not sure if they picked up Brady Woods or who else may be with them.
Yeah, I heard Brady was there, yeah.
Yeah, so we, as far as our team goes, our roster's still not cut in stone because we have some guys that may be able to make it or may not be able to make it, but we have added Colin Walsh will be with us.
Ooh, that'll help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not bad.
He will help, and another young fellow that was out here from Newfoundland last year was going to play with the Tigers last year, but of course, because of COVID, wasn't able to. But Mitch Stack is his name. You may not know him, but he played with the Cubs, I think, with Mata when they finished third in ISC 2 years ago. He played for them, so we're excited to have him. And as far as our out-of-province players, those are the two guys that we've added. And we're just hoping that we can have the best part of our roster there to be as competitive as possible. If we have our full roster there, we should be very competitive. But, you know, having said that, we haven't played a whole bunch of ball. but I don't think anybody has played, you know, the kind of numbers that they used to play in. And so it's going to be the same for everybody. And we're looking forward to, you know, Saskatoon's got a great facility and they always run a great tournament. So we're looking forward to it.
I heard, and this could be, you can address this rumor or choose not to comment. is Frank Cox going with you guys?
Oh. Frank Cox, I'm hoping he is. Mike's been talking with him, and I believe he's on our roster. Frank had, I don't know, you may have known this, Donnie, but he got hit with a comebacker in a tournament in Irma and has had some issues dealing with that. I saw his name on one of the Legends rosters at the ISC last weekend, but I don't know if he was there or if he pitched.
I didn't hear for sure. I heard he did get a comebacker. But just to add another layer to the Tigers Pirates, we got to him late, obviously. And Shane Milligan knows him. He's up there. And he said, oh, why don't you come with us? And he's like, no, I'm already going with Irma. And you should have seen the look on Millie's face.
Yeah. Well, we know Frank's going to be there with his son, I believe, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. So, of course, Mike approached him in Irma, and he said, yeah, well, I'm going to be there. So, we're hoping, and we can hope he'll eat up some innings for us. And as you know, he can still throw the ball and hit a spot. So, we're happy to have him also.
So, some backstory. For our listeners out there, you yourself had a bit of a reputation as a, I won't say mean, but you pitched angry a little. And I would say that Cox is probably in the same profile as you. Hey, couple guys just throwing angry, throwing seeds.
I would take a left from Cox any day than Jack.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
No disrespect, Coxie.
No.
Right? No, zero.
But I'd take the buggy whip left over Jack Fish's left.
For sure. Yeah, hey, well, Lyle, I've been asking some of the players, and it's really neat getting a chance to talk to you on the cast because, you know, got to play with you when I first kind of started, and you know, you kind of took us under your wing. We had a really young team in Camrose, and I still remember how you told me or showed me how to fold shirts. I remember all that still. So I still fold them the exact same way. So they don't wrinkle.
Your mom folds them.
So they don't wrinkle. Yeah. But you've had the opportunity, like some guys that have come out of the game. Now you have your boys that played and you coached them kind of growing up and now they're, you know, in the senior brackets and you're still coaching. Kind of give us some thoughts, or maybe you've had some thoughts around, you know, you obviously, we all got to kind of play in the heyday of fast pitch and men's fast pitch in this country, and it's obviously on the decline a little bit. Have you ever thought about or had any thoughts on, you know, how we maybe get the numbers back up and start to get the game back on track?
Yeah, well, let me say that when we had our boys a little later on in life, Barb and I, and my shoulder was pretty well worn out by the time my boys started playing. So it was an easy decision for me. But I see guys that, you know, whose kids, but they're still good competitive players and they want to play. And it's hard to do both effectively, I think.
Yeah.
But those players that do have played, that know the game and can be involved, they've been a great help for the game. And I know myself personally, when I was coaching, the boys were young. They played hockey also in the winter, but I was, the way we were raised, you played hockey all winter, ball all summer. That was the sports. And so I recruited hockey players for our ball teams in Calgary, and it worked great until they got to competitive hockey, and all of a sudden now kids couldn't come play ball because they had to play hockey year round or they're going to fall through the cracks. They weren't going to make the NHL. So, and now with everything else going on, there's so many choices for kids. But I will say this, that Steven basically and Evan run their team in Calgary here in the men's league. My wife and I go watch the games and enjoy it. But the one thing about that league is they have players on their team that some of them have never played fastball before.
Right.
There were guys that they knew from hockey and guys that had played baseball maybe. But I'll tell you what, those guys all love fastball now. Yeah. Once they've played it, even as young men, they're phoning Stevens saying, you know, we're going to have a team next year. So those guys, and even some of those guys, because Stevens not there all the time and he's their only pitcher, you know, they've had a couple of guys that have stepped up and pitched. And if you look at the men's game now, if you've been around any of the tournaments this year, you've seen guys pitch that haven't pitched in years, like Millie. And you know, he threw in Irma, and Corey Jones has been pitching a lot more than he wants to. And, you know, there's a lot of guys pitching because, as you know, pitching is where the greatest shortfall is in the game. And for it to survive, pitching has to, you know, we have to develop young pitchers. You can, I know you guys work maybe more so in the girls and ladies part of the game, but the young boys game, it's tough because if you have young pitchers, everybody kind of wants to have instant success. And as you know, pitching is not something you pick up a ball when you're 10 years old, throw it a few times and you pitch. Right. It takes time to develop. So unless we can somehow get the young men, young players going and develop young male pitchers, it's tough. And the only other alternative is, as I said, to get guys that are in their early 20s or late 25, and they're not going to be the same kind of pitchers, but the game will survive and maybe they will get better, that they can play not at the ISC level or Canadians level, but if this game's going to survive, I think it's going to have to be at maybe not quite the same level for a number of years, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, and not to pump Stevie's tires because he gets that done all the time. I do it all the time too. I love Stevie, but for him to find guys to come out and play, awesome. But I think if you go, well, I'll try fastball, and the first at bat you ever get is off Steve, you're going to think, no, I'm good. This is too hard. He's at the top end of the game, so you need to get guys like you said, myself out there throwing batting practice belt tie dippers and get a good feel for the hit. So, but yeah, no, I think you're right. I think, you know, we talked to Blake earlier, and he said the same thing. It's some of these guys playing baseball maybe that couldn't make a go of it. Let's go try the game of fastball. You won't find pitchers there, but you'll find enough guys to keep the game going.
Yeah, I think if you can get them out, like I say, if you can get them out there, they'll love the game. They all do. I haven't seen guys come out that play a couple of games and leave. I mean, and there's a couple of guys on Stevens' team that, you know, haven't played before, and they face Pat Burns. Mm-hmm. And no, they don't hit the ball, but they're right there and they're trying. They're taking their hats and they're loving it. So awesome. I just hope that, you know, we can get more of those players involved in the game and keep it going.
The other option might be, we talk about how Irma is such a great community and a great ball town. Can you clone it? I mean, you got a group of guys from such a small town. They're all so talented. If we can find a couple more towns like Irma, they must have just ball players laying around like crazy.
You know, I wish you could, because Irma is it's kind of an anomaly these days. But what a great community that is. If, you know, they have everything you need. Anything you need, they'll get it for you to keep fastball going in that town. And they all love it. I mean, you take a look at the community when we play there. It doesn't have to be the Tigers. Any of the Irma teams, if they're playing, that the stands are usually full. And nice to see. And, you know, Callahoo used to be the same when I first started. Callahoo was the same, but, you know, I talked to Emil Berube, and he said it's tougher there also now with everything. But, you know, Kyle Parsons and the players there, they're doing their part, having lots of kids. keep the number. Kyle and Heidi are doing their part, and Bucks and Rena. So they have, you know, they have good numbers and really good support there in that community. I just wish, and like Mike is saying, we need other communities to love the game as much as they do and step up, and hopefully they win well.
Last question. Whose idea was the gunmetal gray unis for the Tigers?
Unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, I wouldn't say that. It was my idea. We had talked about it. Steven, but I was kind of the guy that designed them. I had a look that, you know, I had some input from the players, had a look at what they wanted to do for a third uniform. And I had seen it before, but it wasn't kind of exactly what I wanted. So those uniforms were sitting in my basement for the last 2 years. So Barb's happy to get them out of the house, and the boys were happy to wear them. So.
Very nice. First time I saw them in Irma, they're sharp. They look real nice. So it was a compliment for sure. I think they're great. But now Millie's going to have to hear this and say, well, we need another set now too. We can't be outdone.
So are the Pirates going to be showing up with some new uniforms at the Grand Slam?
I don't know if we'll have him in time for that, but I wouldn't put it past Millie. He's a stylish fella. He likes to be sharp-dressed.
Well, that's, you know what? I've always said the same thing. If you look good, it helps you play good.
That's right. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on, Lyle. We'll see you in 10 days.
I really appreciate you having me, and nice to chat with you fellas, and see you guys again. Take care.
Right on. Thanks,
Jack.
Let's bring on our next guest, a very close friend of mine. Was at my wedding. Love this guy. The captain of the pirate ship, Mr. Shane Milligan. Millie.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm well, bud. How are you?
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So you got Dean and Tosh here as well. So because normally you and I would just have a conversation, but I want these guys to get involved.
Hey, Millie.
Hey, Millie.
G'day, Dean.
Yeah. So Millie, we're talking about we've been asking some teams that are coming to the Rawlings, which is essentially going to replace Nationals for this year. Big tournament. What sort of things have the Pirates been doing to stay ready and sharp for the tournament?
That you haven't told Donnie.
They haven't. Well, you've told me. Tell the listener.
Staying sharp. I guess everyone's kind of done a good job at doing that on their own. But we've done a few, you know, smaller tournaments inside Alberta, of course, with the shortened season. We just tried to get into whatever we could enter and just get the boys sharp and ready for the Rawlings Challenge. But yeah, you know, we've got pretty much the same team as we did at the last Nationals in Grand Prairie, with maybe one new addition, or maybe a few new additions, but you know, one big loss in Rich Haldane. Hope he gets better soon. But for the most part, we've got the same crew rolling, and we should be good.
Not to mention, does that mean Scotty Glenn's is playing, or is he still going to be on the shelf too?
That's another big loss.
Yeah,
and I like I said, when he got hurt in Calgary, he made a heck of a play.
Yeah, he always short. Does. Yep.
And when he wasn't getting up, that's when I come running in from left field, saying, "This is serious," because I've never seen the man stay down. So I knew it was serious. So yeah, we hope he gets better soon, and you know, we hope he's back next year with the crew.
That's a tough loss, not only on the mound, but what he brings defensively into the leadership of the infield. Scott Glenn's, I say it to anybody, I've played him for a long time. He's a warrior. And I will say what I won't miss, Millie, and this is kind of a shot at Scotty G. When I'm playing third, not a lot of mobility, and I feel like Scotty G makes up for it with his mobility. So a lot of the balls, you know, two steps to my left, that's Scotty G's ball at this point. So there's a few times where it's happened where I've made a step, that's not my ball. And Scotty goes and picks it up, makes a throw across the diamond, and then I get what we call the Scotty G stare, which is where he goes right through your soul. It's tough. So I hope he comes just to the tournament, to the gardens, because he's always fun in the gardens too. But I'll get that look at least a couple times, and it makes me feel alive and dead inside at the same time. It's fun. Scotty G, I hope you get better, bud. So can you talk about, or is it secret, who are the new additions? Who is coming? Who is going to be in the circle maybe for the Pirates?
Well, the biggest one in the circle, of course, is the return of Patty Burns, fresh off an ISC win. Congratulations to Hill United. That was it's fun to watch on YouTube there. But that'll be the big addition in the circle. And then we added another addition, well, our other addition was Blair Ezekiel. So we're getting another big stick in the lineup, and from what I hear, he can spin a few innings as well. So
or we catch, look, or play outfield, or play corners, or probably play shortstop or second.
That's
if you
right.
Want.
Yeah, you can that's do it right.
All. Yeah. Let's not forget Corey Jones has been throwing really well for us, and he smashes the ball. And another late addition, returning player, but wasn't going to come. Big Daddy Lee Stupar is going to maybe spin a bit on the mound too for us.
Noopa loop.
Yeah, bring your green hat, bud.
Yeah, very happy. Like Donnie's mentioned before, we've got a lot of character guys, and you know, it's a close knit group of guys, and you know, they add to the Pirates culture, and I think that's why where a lot of our success comes from is that Pirates culture and these guys, this core group of guys that we've got. So very happy to have Papa Snoops.
And we'd be remiss. Scotty Nehigh is coming back too, and he ups the he ups the anger and size on the Pirates quite a bit.
Sandpaper.
Yeah, he's a rough guy to pitch to, I bet. So lucky he's in our dugout. Crazy, love him. Roommate, fantastic guy. Yeah. We had Lyle great Norman guy. On from the Tigers, who we're all very familiar with on the Pirates, and I mentioned to him that their gunmetal grays look amazing, good looking uniform. But I did say that, you know, Millie's not going to want to be outdone. So do you got something cooking on the Pirate uniform front you want to?
He did challenge you.
I started 3 months ago, Donnie.
I know you did.
And it's been in the works for over a year. But, yeah, I've got something cooking.
Of course you do. Of course you do. So talk a bit about our pool. I know we play two games Thursday, one Friday, one Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like about our draw? What do you not like about it?
Well, to be honest, it doesn't matter who we see. I like our chances. You know, we're a tough team to play against, and you know, I always see us as kind of the underdog. So we always have that got nothing to lose attitude. We just want to go in and play ball and win some ball games. So
Talk about a bit the facility we're going to. I know we've all played there, and we talk about it on the cast all the time, but talk about the facility in Saskatoon.
It's got to be one of the greatest places to play in Canada, in my opinion. Just the atmosphere, the stadium, and you know, it's definitely world class. So it's pretty cool to be playing there. Well, anytime you get a chance to play there, it's pretty cool.
Okay, Millie, that was we just had a
it
hockey
sounded like it. You wanted to say more and then you cut it short there. I'm not sure what was going on there, but it's a very great place to play, but no, there was nothing. Hey, Millie, I've been asking the guys we're talking to, and it's kind of a generic question. We didn't talk about it too much offline with you, obviously, but just give us your thoughts around, I mean, you came through the heyday of the game in the men's game, and just give us maybe some Millie thoughts on what your thoughts are around how do we get the game back, maybe not to where it was, but even start to grow the game a little bit, you know, first probably, you know, in Alberta, the GP area, because it always has been strong in that area. You know, when I was coming through the system, GP always had teams. But are there some things that maybe you've been thinking about that are first steps to get things going?
Well, yeah, I can tell you what I've been working on.
Sure, that'd be awesome.
and it's definitely to grow this great sport. And you know, it started probably when we first decided to change our names from the Dodgers to the Pirates. So my vision there was to, you know, work up and create the Senior A club to bring Senior Men's Nationals to Grand Prairie. And, you know, in that 3 years, we accomplished that. And then the goal from there was to showcase the game and advertise the heck out of it. And then, you know, from the money raised at the Nationals, we wanted to put it into free skills camps throughout the winter and the spring. And we wanted to start it with the girls program. And now, well, this is our, well, last year we had our first year with the girls, and, you know, with it being a COVID year, it was obviously tough. You know, we had, I think, 3 or 4 teams, but then this year we more than doubled, and, we found a great partner in Ashley Porterfield. She's been doing some amazing things with getting the word out there and just organizing everything. I don't know if that lady ever sleeps, but she's been doing some great things in helping grow the girls game. And we just hosted girls provincials, a U12 and a U19 girls provincials last weekend in Grand Prairie. And we had so many people coming out, and we had a lot of gained interest and more girls wanting to come out and play next year and already talking about winter training. So awesome. So we're getting some huge growth that way. And with all the girl stuff being splashed on social media and just out in the community, now we're gaining the interest on the boys' side. So now we're starting with, we hope to gain enough interest on the boys' side to have a couple teams next year.
That's great.
Millie, I know you won't pump your own tires because you don't do that, but I'm going to for sure. We talked to Hunter from Souk, obviously, and you're talking to, you know, 3 guys who are coaching now. But you started a program and started coaching a group that hasn't really played, and you gave them a platform to start on and got them all going. I think that's kind of the, you know, Blake's comment was, hey, we need to have the people who have played this game at the highest level and seen the world and toured and gotten lots from ball to start giving back. And you did that. So congratulations to you, to your program. And you lost out to another former player. Well, he's currently playing with us in league, Jason Reinhardt's team in Fort Sask.
Jason Reinhardt.
Yeah. Like there's guys that are, it's great to see, you know, teammates and friends given back. It's huge. And I hope the athletes that you work with appreciate the level of instruction they're getting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And Tosh, I believe, well, to answer your other question, coming up through the heydays, that's why I'm an avid listener on this podcast, because a lot of these stories you guys were talking about, I was there for a lot of them. And just hanging out in the on the outside as a young fella looking in, but I really, really enjoyed the podcast, and honestly, it was this podcast also helped as motivation to continue pressing forward with the girls program. So,
awesome.
Great job, fellas, and
thanks, Millie.
And also, it's just awesome to see you guys giving back to the youth and giving back to the sport. And I think that's why ball died out in Grand Prairie, is because we didn't have those players that played at the highest level, you know, developing the younger generations coming up.
Right.
So, congratulations to you guys. And, you know, that's part of the reason why Saskatoon has a world-class facility, right? You guys just keep developing.
Millie, we've said it before, probably the nicest guy in all of softball, bud. We love it. So just one more personal note. The podcast is looking for a sponsor still, so Prairie Villa Insurance wants to sponsor the podcast. I understand you're celebrating kind of a milestone at work, and if you want us to tie it in and promote it, we will. Just let us know. We're taking offers.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, 100 years this weekend. We're celebrating at our Sexsmith office. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Congrats.
Millie, kind of a big deal. I love that about you.
Yeah, awesome.
Can't wait for Saskatoon, and I can't wait for the surprise we got for the fellas set up. Stay tuned.
Oh, yeah. Big surprise.
Thanks. Right. Thanks, Millie. Okay, next guest in the Rawlings preview show from the Big Guy Lake, Nick Potskin. My man, welcome.
How's it going?
It's going well, thanks. Now, we say Nick Pock, you're from Big Guy Lake, of course, but Prince George area, but you've come with us a couple times, so you're kind of like one of us too, so we'll let that slide for now.
All right, sounds good.
How's it going up in Prince George?
It's good so far. Our league only had 1 week of interruptions, but other than that, we've been playing twice a week, three times a week, so it's going good.
Does your team split up into different league teams to get, you know, more bats, more innings for pitches, or do you take your whole roster right to the league?
No, we do split up our team. Like most of the older guys are on a different team than our younger guys, and then we split up the pitchers, so we'll see basically different pitching every time.
I follow that that league and your team on Twitter, and the pictures, like, that stadium is fantastic. It's a great venue for ball.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. It holds tons of fans, which just makes the game so much better, right?
For sure. So talk about what you guys have been doing this summer, getting ready for this tournament. What's going on?
So we've been trying to stretch out and go to as many tournaments as possible. Of course, with COVID, it's quite a bit more difficult. But like, I missed the last week's one, but we had a provincials in Abbotsford just last week in there. So we got our team out there, and we actually won it, which is quite nice. Unfortunately, I have school and life, but
by school, do you mean high school? No. Look how young this guy is. Holy. What grade are you in?
No, I'm, yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. So, Nick, can hear you typing. Stop that. Nick, I sent you a text too, and I was hoping you'd get it, but
I think it's just his mics.
These mics, mic, yeah. You're so sensitive, this mic.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it's, yeah. I'll try not to touch it here.
So Nick, talk about your roster going into Saskatoon. Who's in your pool? Who are you playing?
So we got, I haven't looked at it too closely. Oh, now I can't even remember who's in our pool anymore.
GP, right?
Yeah, you play us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sook. Yeah.
You got Sook.
Big man.
Sook, big man, GP.
Angels?
And then, no, we have Bear Creek. No, Nith River, sorry.
Hmm. Nith River, that's the other one, yeah.
Yeah. So, tough pool. I guess both pools are pretty tough, obviously.
Yeah.
What's your roster looking like? How do you feel going in?
I have a pretty solid roster. Like, our hitting, we don't really have a weak spot, which is quite nice. So, we're all consistent hitters, and we've been getting better throughout the year, seeing better pitching. With lack of tournaments, like traveling across, it's hard to see different pitchers, but we have been seeing consistently good pitchers throughout BC.
Who's throwing for you out there?
Out here?
No, when you come to Saskatoon, who's throwing for you?
Oh, that'll probably be, I think, Brandon Peck, I believe we have. But that'll be our main pitcher. We also have Josh Anderson. So, local BC, for sure.
Nice. So, where are you hitting in that lineup, since we're talking?
Yeah, I'll probably be batting first.
Oh, a little leadoff. Lead
off, yeah. Very nice. Hopefully, last time I saw you, Nick, it's Dino here. Last time I saw you, we were in New Zealand, and you had your long flowing hair, so you didn't lose anything by cutting it all off, have you?
Absolutely not.
No? Okay, good. Maybe a little faster?
Maybe faster, yeah. Less hair.
So should I shave my head? Is that what you're getting at,
Dino? Well, I'm thinking anything can help.
Couldn't hurt, yeah. Couldn't hurt. Yeah. Nick, well, you know, we talked about a little bit offline. You came with us to ISCs in Denmark, and you had a hell of a tournament, kind of a coming out party for you.
Yeah.
Smash the ball. I think you led the tournament in RBIs. So, you know, good for you. But you went there with your pops. Your pops played in the Legends with Richie Haldane in Portland. What was it like going to a tournament, world class at two levels with your dad?
Oh, that's awesome. I think it's something he's dreamed of probably when I was a kid. And as soon as I got into ball, that's something I always wanted, right? To be able to compete at the same level in the same tournament, just maybe not against each other, but but being able to play like that high level, and then the next game I'll be able to watch him play, right? That's awesome.
So what's next for you guys? I know we're kind of wrapping up the year, replacing Nationals with this tournament in Saskatoon, which is a great.
Right.
Have you played in Saskatoon before?
Yes, the complex there is awesome.
Oh, it's everyone says the same thing. It's a beautiful park. Yeah. Are you old enough to go in the beer gardens yet?
He is because he's not eligible for U23.
Well, we'll see you there. It's a fun spot. The Pirates are undefeated there so far, so we'll see you there.
Oh, yeah? But, we're going to bring a challenge for sure.
All right. Fair enough. So I guess, you know, we're wrapping up the season, though, kind of getting Team Canada, get some looks at some guys, get a kind of a replacement for Nationals. What's next year? Have you started planning already? What's going on?
Yeah, so next year we're hoping to step it up even more and hopefully compete in well, as much as COVID will let us, like more tournaments, maybe over in Manitoba, Toronto, maybe stretch a little further than that to try and see more pitching, get more at-bats and more, evolve more as a team, right? Mm-hmm.
So we had Blake on earlier, and he mentioned specifically that Northern BC, the ball is starting to heat back up. And are you part of that? Are you making it go? Yeah. Are you the catalyst?
I'm trying my best, yeah. So every time we get a chance to go to tournaments, always, yeah, we have a group chat and stuff, and everyone's really pushing for everything we do.
Nice. So, well, you want to ask?
I have a different story, and it's to do with your cousin.
I love it. Love it already.
Evan? So Evan played with us on the national team back in the day, right. and I remember, playing in Victoria. Obviously, we went up to PG quite a bit, and I love that stadium as well, and playing against your dad and the whole family and the Ghost Keepers and everybody up there. It was, the ball was fantastic. But Dino, I think you've told the story before, but do you want to tell it? Because you know it pretty well.
I don't know. Which one are you talking about, Tosh?
The home run Evan hit in
in
Guatemala.
Two home runs he hit in Guatemala.
So there's this, how far was the billboard behind
the Mets? Okay, it was 100 feet if it was 10. Okay. Right? So it was 100 feet for sure, minimum. And the scoreboard itself was at least 100 feet high.
The billboard. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it was a great big giant billboard. And so we're playing US, right?
Yeah.
And Evan comes up and hammers one, and nobody's hit one up there, you know. And he hits one, and it looks like it's going to go over, and it hits the top of the billboard, right? And everybody was just absolutely amazed. Probably the longest home run I'd ever seen hit. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, it was either the next at-bat or a couple at-bats later, he hit another one and it went over.
Over the billboard.
Over it.
Yeah.
So, and the fences were, they were 300 feet.
Holy.
Like, they were not a little 250 park. They were a big, big park. And then with the 100 feet and 100 feet up, like, it was a monster shot. Everybody that was there will remember that. There's no question. Right, Evan, that's probably one of the biggest home runs I've ever seen.
And you figure the fence was 300 feet?
It was big. It was 275. It wasn't 250.
I got one out too in that tournament, so that was a bomb.
Oh,
man.
God.
So
did it hit somebody and then they tripped and fell?
Maybe.
And then it went up and bounced
I think
over.
It was against Jamaica, but they don't say how. They say how many.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they say that against Jamaica, but fair enough. Okay, so I guess I know Dean, God love you. Your memory's not great.
No, it's not.
But do you remember who he hit it off of?
I know one was off Gilly.
Luster, probably.
Could have been T. Lust. I thought one was off Gilly, but no, I don't know for sure. And it's not about that. Who wants to embarrass
No. I don't want to embarrass another pitcher.
Give up one, it's, you know.
If you're going to give up one, let it be a moonshot. Yeah.
It was. Yeah. It's remembered. I remember the hitter. I don't remember the pitcher.
It was a bomb. But
that might be my pitcher nature, right? You got to. You don't remember that stuff.
No.
You got to have a short memory.
That's right. Anyways, that's my Evan story, and I just had to put that.
I thought it was the Evan story where we all got bats, and Evan. Remember, the first time there, and we all are pretty excited, and we're getting all of our
trinkets.
Team Canada gear, and they had bats for everybody back then. And I won't forget this because Evan was late because he was golfing. So you can give him gears for that one.
Yeah.
And don't be late for any national team camp, especially for golfing. Golf, all right. Yeah. You got that. But when they handed out the bats, and Evan goes, well, my other bat's working pretty good, but I guess I'll take this one. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Again, another Evan story that I will not forget.
That's right.
The guy could hit the ball, though. No question. Holy smokes.
No question.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who else hits the ball well? You, bud. That's who.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So I'm going to put it out there. And I mentioned this offline. I'm doing it. We're looking for a verbal commitment for ISCs next year. Just keep that under your hat. We just talked to Millie.
He's likely going to give you a call. Loved having you on the team. Can't wait to see you in Saskatoon, man. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it.
It's going to be a pleasure watching you over the next 20 years.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it'll be a fun time for sure.
Awesome.
Thanks, bud. Nick. All right, boys. Big weekend coming up. Let's get into shots. I'm sure we all have something funny to add. Let's start with Dino.
Oh, geez. Looking at the, I don't know if you guys heard, there's that men's national team coaches panel on the Wednesday night.
Yeah.
There's myself and Dougie with the U23 coaching staff. And then on the senior coaching staff, there's Howie, John Hill, and John Stewart.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a shot, but I guess it's more of a question. I'm just wondering, you know, there must be somebody else on that panel because – Howie and Hill, they're not even gonna remember what they did, how they got started. You know, like we're gonna have to dust off some of the old books to find out where they were. But
what ball did they play with before the Spalding 177?
The Dudleys?
I think they were called Rocks.
Remember the Spalding 177s? Yes. I mean, that was what we used when we first started playing. Like,
Rockets.
Was it a ball of yarn? When Pale and Hilly were playing, or what was it exactly?
You know, yeah. So hopefully there's somebody else there that can relay some of the stories that they've had during their careers. Because
somebody's got to translate for Hill too. He'll be speaking Newfie, so nobody's gonna understand him anyway. And Pale lives there now, so he's probably speaking the same language.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Should be good.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Should be a lot of laughs.
The listeners out there, it is English with a twist. with a bit of a twist. So
with a lemon twist.
Yeah. Okay, well, Tosh, you want to go next or you want me to go?
Sure, I'll go.
All right.
Mine is a shot and also probably a compliment at the same time. You guys talk about my backhand of compliments all the time. So okay, we were a little riled up. Not riled up. Riled up is a strong word. We were questioning why our Masters team was not allowed to automatically enter into the Rawlings thing and why we, you know, wouldn't be considered right away.
Yeah.
You know, like we had a really strong showing at Provincials, right? Finished second to the Angels, won nothing, could have gone either way.
Yeah.
Did really well in Calgary, finished, you know, in the final, lost the final, but played really well. And, you know, my brother was really fired up too about it, but you know, I started thinking about it. Yeah, well, you know, it makes sense, you know, for us to be in there because we have a very competitive team. But as I think now, and glad that we're not in the Rawlings tournament, because I've just been able to start walking upright since Provincials. So
the old massager's been going.
Yeah, that massage overtime, gun has been. Yeah, I've had to charge that thing three or four times. But I remember we were a little, you know, questioning why. Well, now I know why. So all is good.
I guess the thing is, I mean, there's nobody on our squad looking to make the national team, right? So I mean, that's probably obviously the first reason. But you know, and even to your point, you want those that are trying to make the national team to play against the best teams around. And I think for two innings, our team could be that team, right?
Yeah. So it could be.
Yeah. It's just over the course of a weekend. I think that's where all the nuts and bolts start falling out. And
you know, well, and maybe you don't want a bunch of old guys walking around beating guys that are trying to get on the national team. What does that do to their egos? Right.
Yeah. I don't think that would happen.
No, it's going to be a great tournament. And, I'm looking forward
to watching and not being sore at the end of it.
Yeah, you know, bud, I think right up until 10 minutes after the national anthem, we have been right in it, for sure, for sure. Donnie?
Yeah, I got one. Here it is. It's a compliment also, and then also a bit of a, come on, man. But we come to Saskatoon for the last day of tryouts, lots of kids and Tosh and Donnie got to throw another 1,000 pitches, right?
So, 1,000 pitches.
So here we go. So Jay is in the middle, kind of evaluating the swings. And there's a coach from Manitoba. His name's Farron Asham, who is an absolute beauty of a guy.
However, so we start with the bigger girls, we go to the middle, and then the end, we end with the youngest ones. But in the middle group was pretty big, and Donnie's run out of gas, let's just say. And, during the course of the batting practice, he'll say, hey, but put one on her hands and let's see what she does, and put one low and away. And I'm hitting spots and feeling great. Okay.
Paintbrush, man. Paintbrush.
Yeah. I'll come paint your house after this, boys. But here's the thing. At some point there, I threw probably 8 straight balls, maybe 12, and having a hard time. And afterwards, he comes up to me and goes, hey, boy, you really lost your release point on that last one, hey? And I, it's the closest I've come to putting another twos coach in a sleeper hold. I didn't lose my release point. I've lost feeling in my extremities. Yeah, so,
exactly.
Fair and Asham, see you next tryouts, and I'll see how you handle 1,000 pitches in a row.
or stand in there for just one pitch.
Yeah. You want to go to first so bad, I'll get you there.
Put one right on the mittens for you.
Oh, Farron. Good start. Good start. Yeah. He's got Donnie riled up. Nobody gets Donnie riled up.
No. Donnie, Disneyland Donnie. He never gets fired up. Yeah, there you go.
So anyway, awesome. It was pretty funny, though. But he did a great job, but that was a bit of a, hey, man, I know I was missing spots. Damn, I've thrown.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was good.
I'll get him back when he comes out.
Very good. Well, looking forward to the weekend, boys. Looking forward to seeing you guys there. Looking forward to maybe having an adult beverage and watching some good ball. Pretty pumped. It's going to be great. Weather looks good. So I think it's going to be awesome.
I can't wait. I'll see you boys
very
there.
Cool. Say goodnight, Tony.
Goodnight, boys.
Thanks for listening to Twos Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit MiloAdminsterNow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.